Well, good afternoon, everyone. Wow, it's great to have everybody here. As soon as we get that platform built, that will give you a lot more room to spread out even further. I had somebody standing out in the hall, and he says, "Too tight to sit in there today." I said, I'll lose weight, I'm sorry. Nothing like deprecating humor. That was nothing like it. Alrighty, I've got a few announcements here. First of all, I'm going to give you a sad announcement. For those who may not have heard, you might remember George Trent passed away this week. Now, George and I served in the ministry many years ago, back in the 90s. And he had been fighting cancer, which I did not know. And then he had a heart attack this week and passed away. So pray for Susan, his wife. She had a heart attack a couple years ago. So anyway, they'll be missed. And for the congregation up there and for their feast that they normally have up in Kentucky. Alrighty, important notes here. 2 weeks, Chuck Baker and his family will be here. They're coming in, they'll be here for the 4th of July. I was thinking the 4th of July, I said, wouldn't it be great if the father, because he said he can cut time short, he decided this 4th of July, it's over, you don't have to go through all of that. Wouldn't that be awesome? You talk about freedom, that's Independence Day. Independence Day. Yeah. So I want to welcome everybody online. We have some notes. We passed some notes for Chuck Baker and his congregation down in Florida. Chuck, please, when you come down here, remember to bring your kids' shoes home next time. Steve Council. No, I'm not just Steve, y'all. The ministry, they're all tuning in with their congregations today, so I just wanted to take a couple of moments to be Tom. Yeah. In the sermon, I can't be Tom. You got to focus on what's important in the messages. So, but when you're not there and you're out the pulpit, I mean, it's as Clayton says, you got to bring your joy. All righty, this is from Danny. The biggest lie I tell myself is I don't need to write that down. I'll remember it. I mean, you know, that happens. I mean, I might be working a sermon. You wake up in the middle of the night and it's like, oh, that's great stuff. That's all I remember in the morning because you're too lazy to get out of bed and write it down. The next morning, you can't even remember what you were thinking about. All right, here's another one. This cleaning with alcohol is total nonsense. Nothing gets done after the first bottle. The drinkers out there, All right, if I was ever in a situation where I'm the voice of reason, we're in really, really bad shape. All right, last one. If anyone ever had their face cleaned by the grandmother when he spit on the napkin and wiped your face, you're probably safe from COVID. Probably safe from COVID. You think about those things. Remember when you were little? You know, I remember my mom used to do that. Wipe off face, get the dirt off. You do that now, they want to put you in jail. All right, so much for humor. I want to bring you an important message today. And this message is carrying on in the theme that we worked on for 7 years. And what I found when working on this theme is that the first 7 years, up until December, everything focused that I felt driven to work on, focused on events that are going to happen and how they're going to apply for God-given us reason. But ever since 2020, it's not been on the events, it's on the impact of how they happen. I mean, you think about that, God says he's going to give us the protection because he's going to tell us beforehand how they're going to happen so that we can be protected. So this sermon is going to follow on that theme. So now listen, after nearly a decade of global upheaval and unrest in 1933, it was unleashed a reign of terror that would, in just 12 years, that would be sure to bring the death toll to nearly 100 million people. And I thought about that when I thought about the time frame, looking back into the events of 2020, the decade of change, as I had that sermon back in January. Thinking about the condition, I'll talk a little bit about that in just a second. Thinking about where we were at that particular time to the end time, where Jesus Christ says there'll never be a time like it. There's never been a time before, and there won't ever be a time like it. And I look back to World War II, in just 12 years, nearly 100 million people died. And the next event that comes in the return of Jesus Christ is going to surpass that. That's hard to grasp with. You can't grab with the mind, can't think about exactly how that is. So I want to ask the question today, is history ready to repeat itself? Look at the news and the events and everything's taking place today, and there's this eerie deja vu in the world taking place right now. I'm going to talk about that today in a sermon that I'm calling, in this sermon, the Ministry of Public Enlightenment and Propaganda. That's actually a phrase from a department that came out of Germany. We're going to use that today to see about what are the lessons of that from World War II till today. The actual technical name for the whole thing was the Reich Ministry. In other words, the German government, their ministry. And I thought it was peculiar the way this was written. Public enlightenment. And I think about that today because we live in a time that the Pope wants to enlighten all of us. He wants to educate us all. And the means that he's doing is very much the very same way as it was back in World War II, is through a propaganda, re-education. We're going to rebuild the world. We're going to tear it down. We're going to rebuild it the way God wants it to be without God. It's called humanism, as he begins to talk about that. So before I begin, let's have a reminder. God has given us some amazing examples to learn from, especially 1 Corinthians 10, a process God has used over and over through his scripture, and now we find he's also using it today in the end time to remember going back. Part of the reason that we have what God calls in his holy days, he calls them rehearsals. So that every year we go back to where he wants us to be so that we don't forget. But in 1 Corinthians, he says, all of these things happen to them for examples, and they were written for our admonition. It's going to be amazing when we come up in the kingdom. We'll be sitting around and we have a chance to talk. We'll all be brought into Jerusalem. We'll be working. We'll begin to educate. And the people who are living in the time who came up with Moses, those who died in the wilderness, you get a chance maybe to start working with and talking, educating, when they come up in the second resurrection. And you say, well, let me tell you what you went through. Because maybe you didn't make it into the kingdom at the time, but let me show you who made it because of what you all went through. That God literally let them live through an example for our time. And God's doing it again in our time when we look at the duality between the physical and the spiritual of the end time generation. It goes on to say, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So now we look at the time we live in today, the conditions we're in. We are in that time right now. So what God's telling us in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, that all those things that happened, that God had them written down through all those men, through the prophets of old, through the time, and then Paul writes down that they were written for you and I, for our generation of whom the ends of the world has come. So what does God want us to do with all this? It says, you're light of the world, the city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. If we look at today and you had walked outside God's Holy Spirit and we've seen through spiritual eyes, as the world continues to get darker, you get to be brought to light. I remember one of the classes I was in with leadership training way back in the early 1990s, is was being taught, is saying that, you know, with a light draws a lot of attention. You say, you know what light brings? Light brings bugs. You live out in the country, you know you turn on light, bugs are everywhere. And we're going to have spiritual bugs attacking God's people before this is all over. Why? Because you're the light. And Satan wants to put that light out. Hosea 4 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It says, because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. In other words, if God says, I have educated you, I have taught you, you have learned. If you reject that knowledge and go out and do what someone else wants you to do rather than what God wants you to do, God says, I will reject you. And then all of a sudden your life turns from a life of blessings to cursings and problems. And you wonder, how in the world did I get here? So here's what we're looking at. God has painstakingly, for our sake, developed the scriptures through thousands of years so that the end time generation that is so important that you make it into the kingdom. And it says, if not for the elect's sake, no flesh would be saved. That he has recorded it all. He has put the spirit inside of you that you light up. He has given you the knowledge so that we won't fail. Isn't that encouraging? That's positive, powerful news for you and I. So when things are bad out there and you have pressures and people are tempting you to go do something else, rather than what you know is right, you don't give in to them temptation. Because there's going to be a lot of temptations. There's going to be a lot of problems coming down the road. And you're going to see a lot of people hurt in God's church through the pain that's going to come from those outside the church. So in January, I began with the decade of change. And if you didn't see that sermon yet, you might want to get a copy or write in or go online and get a copy of it. And in that sermon, we talked about, is Christ going to come at the end of this decade? And if he comes at the end of the decade, is what the prophecy seems to indicate, somewhere about that time, doesn't have to, doesn't promise. Jesus Christ himself said, I don't know the time. But according to prophecies, it says that after 2 days, he will revive us, that's 2,000 years, and in the third day, he will dwell in our face. That's the 3,000th year. That comes somewhere around 2030. So if Jesus Christ is going to come back around 2030, this decade is going to be huge amounts of change. So today what I want to talk about is, we talked about the changes that were going to take place. Today what I want to talk about is some of the ways that the change is going to come about and how they're going to alter the way we live. Anybody sitting here today feel like your life hasn't been altered since January? Oh, everybody. Everybody online. Everybody's life has been altered. And 6 months ago, we could never have imagined we would be in the position we are today. Luke 21 says, watch therefore and pray always that you may be worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. You know, and I'm really excited to say that I know Gene's sister, Linda, who's got COVID, who went in the hospital thinking they had a respiratory problem. And other than her and one other person who had a stroke and went to the hospital and caught COVID, the Church of God has been protected from this problem. That's a miracle. I don't know if anybody thanks God enough for it, but it is literally, that's a miracle. To isolate and separate in the middle of all of this pandemic, to have this many people in God's churches scattered through all the churches and protected from this pandemic, that's to give us hope for what's coming down the road. So now, yesterday, if you didn't hear the news nuggets and insights yet, I hope you watch it before the weekend's over, we began to talk about what I'm bringing in today about the ideology on the origins of Antifa that could be tracked back 100 years. We're talking about the violence, because at the beginning of this, we talked about the ministry of enlightenment and propaganda. How did they operate? How did they develop and work in this very much the same way that we're looking at Antifa today, right in front of our very eyes? It was all the way back into the 20s. The 1920s was a decade of change, not any different than it is today with the decade of the 2020, the decade of change. The parallel of events are almost frightening of what's going on, because it took the change of the 1920s that set everything in place for the next power grab of evil that came about with Mussolini, with Hitler, and with Japan, and believe it or not, even with China and Russia in the midst of it all began into the 1920s. And everything was set in place through power, disruption, and the anger of the people, and the desperation to come out of the problems that they're in, very much like the 2020s now, are setting up for us today. So now, 100 years later, is history repeating itself in the reshaping of this world that we live in today? We're going to talk about that today. We talked about just yesterday in the Nuggets that we are to watch. For many decades we had understood, the church has taught for since I came in 1971, that we are to watch, always watch. In fact, when it came in 1971, the church was teaching you Christ is coming back in 1975. 1972, they were going to go to a place of safety. So they were on fire. Watch. And be honest with you, as a young man, I said, man, I'm tired of these sermons on watch. I said, there's got to be something else to talk about. Of course, then you get a sermon that says, you just don't get it. And I'm saying, no, I don't get it. I didn't get it. But the church has always talked about Christ coming, false Christ, wars, rumors of wars, famines, and plague. Of course, if you talk to the people before January 2020, people even in the church said, but we've always had. And the sense of urgency wasn't there for many people. I dare say it is there now. It didn't take a whole lot to wake everybody up. One quick slap across the face and you got somebody's attention. So here we are. Now, these past 7 years, through the series that we've been working on, God has laid out His plan in the duality of events. And I can't encourage you enough to go back and review those sermons. It's because what they've done is they've taken God's holy word and put together piece by piece. Just like the Bible says, here a little, there a little. And it covered the focus and events of where things were going in a timeline that makes sense when you look back. In fact, when we come in today in the Bible study, when I came in, I was watching one of the series. And you can hear it today, and I talk to people who were there, and they say, you know, they make more sense today than they did when they were delivered 7 years ago. Because we're in that time frame now where those things are happening already. Never did I ever dream that you could preach a sermon about things that are going to come to pass, and before Saturday gets here, they came to pass. God says He's going to make a short word, and we're in that time right now. But by understanding those dualities, that God has left a trail. It's like dropping breadcrumbs. And He's walked us through piece by piece, step by step. Never prophesizing, never trying to figure, what does that mean without ever knowing what that means till God has given us an explanation of what that means. And He brings you to the next step. Very similar to when they were getting ready to go into the promised land. Do you remember what God told Moses? He said, listen, get ready in 3 days because you see, the ark's going to come. He said, now, when the ark comes, if you follow that ark, which was the presence of God, what it represented, the law of God. It was written right there. He says, because you've never came this way before. And for you and I, the end time generation, we have to follow that ark. That's the Spirit of God that He places inside of each one of us. Because we've never been here before. And if someone wants to tell you they know it's going to happen, they're probably wrong. Because God's going to do things just like He did with COVID. Nobody ever dreamed that was coming. Although we look back, the people who were on the far left, the people, the scientists, they had a pretty good clear idea of what was coming. And it is quite possible they instigated it and brought it to pass. Because there's enough evidence to show that that could have happened. So now, what are the nuggets for today? So where do we go today with these events to find the revelation and the rise of the beast where God has taken us to? This re-education of the world that's going to go through. The Pope's going to begin that. It was supposed to begin May 14th, the very anniversary of the birth of the modern-day state of Israel that we know today. It was set back to October 11th. Now, I find this particularly, if you didn't get to see Nuggets, I want to bring this back again, is it was going to set up on the day that Israel was founded back in 1948. So they move it off of that, but it gets to October 11th, which is the very day after the Feast of Tabernacles. And I noticed that when we went back to 2015 and we began to pull all this together, that the Pope, when he came to America, and he went and sat in the White House on the Day of Atonement, and then he went to Congress, and then he went to the UN, and then he went to Philadelphia, and he left. He was out of U.S. airspace on the very beginning of the nighttime portion of the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles. What's interesting, and I don't know if God has planned it, but He looks like He would not let the Pope be here and intervene in the Feast of Tabernacles. And why would that be? It's because Satan will be put away during the feast for 1,000 years. So are we not, again, looking at something orchestrated by God to show us that He is in control of everything that goes on? I think so. It's interesting that it comes about. Now we're going to bring in something new that you're going to hear a lot about. As God talks about the beast and the rising, there's also going to be a military, a global, a Babylonian system is going to be filled with the money and the power and the control to run it all. And you may be looking at it beginning right here, emerging from Europe, that says the World Economic Forum, the Great Reset. Beginning, and everything about that fits, dovetails perfectly with the 2030 agenda with the Pope. And what I'm here to say right now is that you are witnessing the beginning of the foundation, the establishment, and the connections to the putting together of the rise of the Holy Roman Empire. And if Jesus Christ comes in 2030, it's going to move it all so fast, you won't have time to catch your breath before the next event takes place. So we're told to watch. Book of Luke says watch. Does ye therefore pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. That means you've got to count the cost today. That means God's going to give you trials. You're going to be tested. You're going to be tempted to be able to protect yourself, to keep peace with everybody, rather than standing up to do what God tells you to do that you know needs to be done. So when you watch, let's ask another question. What is your source of information and news? Where do you get your information from? You know, when I talk to people that I've not met before, I travel at the Feast of Tabernacles, and I hear the conversation, I can almost tell you what the channels they're listening to. All the channels, whether it's right or left, doesn't matter, every one of them has an agenda behind what they're saying. And when you get this information, do you weigh it? How do you weigh it? Years ago, my dad used to say, listen, he used to talk to me until I got tired of listening. When I get in trouble, he'd sit and talk to me rather than give me a whipping. And I'd rather take the beating than sit there and have to listen for hours. And he said, well, if you can't use it, just put it aside. Just take what you can. And the same way with news. When you listen to it, how do you react to it? Do you literally prove it out? Or do you think they're actually telling you the truth? How do you weigh out what you heard? Nearly all news agencies today don't simply report the news, but instead they have an agenda that's based to accomplish their goals. Every one of them. The television station, to a T, if it's the left, it's almost like they get an assignment, and I'm going to talk about that in just a few minutes, in the propaganda. It's like you call in and you get your assignment, and this is the word for the day. This is the phrase for the day. No matter who you listen to, every one of them uses almost word for word the exact same phrase. How did he do that without somebody coordinating that? Without developing some kind of propaganda machine to be able to get that information to accomplish their goal? Same way with the right. You can watch another network, and maybe it's not exactly, there's not as many of them. But if there's something that happens that day, every single news, every single pundit, all day long, all night long, has the same stories. So, where do you get your news from? And are you weighing it against God's holy word? God tells us to prove all things, to hold fast that which is true. So you have to prove it all out. Last time I spoke on conspiracies and how people literally are drifting off from the truth because of conspiracies of all things. Going into conspiracies. This was the sermon, 2020, the decade of the 20s. So I want to show you, especially if you've not seen this back, this was just, believe it or not, it seemed like eternity ago, but it's 6 months ago. I mean, it's not that long ago. So from 2020 to 2030, so if Jesus Christ came in 2030, that would mean in just 10 years we would go from the most prosperous decade in modern times to the worst time in human history. You know, when I worked on that sermon, I was brain dead. I didn't know what to talk about. I went through 7 years. I just felt compelled and pushing and pushing and pushing, keep working on the next series, the next piece of information. But after January, and we talked about the December 7th and Pearl Harbor, and at dawn we slept was the name of the sermon. It's like I didn't have anything information to go into. So I went into some old stuff. In fact, I was over in Alabama. A lady says, you're going through a dry spell right now. And it's interesting she said that because I was. I said, yes, I am. Because I was waiting for the Spirit to guide me again, to take me to where we need to go. But it didn't take long. By the next month, we went into the storm on the horizon, found the information with Abraham Lincoln. That storm, we were talking about the COVID that was sitting over there waiting. It was on that horizon. It began to move. Matthew 24, verse 20 says, for then shall be great tribulation, was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And I don't think anyone comprehends how bad this will be. I know in Hurricane Katrina, when I came back to New Orleans, we saw it on the news, but when you're here and you see the smells, you see the sights, you hear the smells of all the death and rotting and decay. And there's no wind and total darkness and this stagnant heat is unbelievable after a hurricane. If you've never been after a hurricane in a certain area, it's hard to describe, but it just like it sucks life out of everything. And you're left with just total stagnant air and heat. You don't even hear birds. Nothing chirps. There's no movement. There's no life. So it's amazing that goes through. So now, We're in a time just like that of the 20s, that the period that led up to the giving power to Hitler, that where it led to World War II. How did he begin? He began by establishing the control of the press, believe it or not. That's how it all began. Look what Ephesians 2:2 is. We shouldn't be surprised, because the Bible laid it all out for us. But you know what the trouble is? We look through physical eyes. We're not used to looking through spiritual eyes. So that means everything happens, we have to be able to turn on our spiritual eyes. That means you have to go into God with His presence and His guidance and His instruction to see beyond what's physical to what's coming, to where He wants us. So Ephesians 2:2 says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. That's what it says. That means he's in control of the airways in the world in which we live today. So when Adolf Hitler took power in 1933, the Nazis controlled, ready for this, less than 3% of the Germany's 4,700 papers. Less than 3%. Hitler understood to control the nation, it required changing the way people saw things. So what are we looking at with the Pope? They know they have to re-educate people. So they have to condition you so you can see things the way they want you to see it, not the way things really are. To do that, he knew that he needed to control the power of the air. Being led by Satan, of course, Satan led him to knowing, he says, I am the power of the air, and you will be the power of the air. And Hitler was. In 12 years, by the end of World War II, there was only 1,100 papers that existed, and only half were in the hands of private ownership. In 12 years. And out of those half, less than 10% of the newspapers were still in circulation, underground, reporting truth. Hitler had wound up controlling nearly every single piece of information that is out there. The media today is on its move to do the same thing to the conservative issue. And if you don't believe it, then you're blind, because that is what's coming. One more thing. By the end of World War II, 100% of the radio media was Nazi-controlled. 100%. To make sure no airways existed that wasn't controlled by the stations that were controlled by Hitler and his organization. To make sure of that, they destroyed all the radios that were in Germany, and they gave them their own radios with one frequency. You want to listen to a radio, you're listening to what he had to say, or their propaganda machine. They knew exactly what to do and how to control the people. So how did that all happen? How could an entire nation be taken in and lead us to that? More importantly, what are the lessons for us today? And I keep asking, is history repeating itself? I think you will see that it is. George Santana, who's 1963 to 1952, was a historian and a professor at Harvard University. So he left for us what has since become a popular but ignored quote: those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. He wrote that back in 1905. You ever wonder why we're going through all the changes in history? Why they're tearing down the statues? Why they're rewriting the books that they teach the kids in school? Because it's called a cultural revolution, is what we're being told that it is. So what is the true purpose behind that? It's really to rewrite history. In fact, there's many countries over in Europe now that the Holocaust never happened. Unbelievable, but true. For propaganda to be effective, you must remove the history of the past that could prove it wrong, which is Satan's way. So today, just like in Germany, today nearly all newspapers, radio, and television stations, including cable and satellite, were owned and controlled by the liberal left. How did that happen? How did the prince of the left, the airways, all of a sudden, with all the money and all the power, wind up controlling everything? Because it's back into the same time it was 100 years ago today. This is including nearly all of the newer social media platforms like Google, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. We no longer have a society that the news that you hear anymore is actually news that you can trust. The same way it was in Germany. You're being told through the propaganda machine of the spirit of the airways of what they want you to understand and what's taking place today. And you need to be aware, who do you listen to? And even when you do, are you proving what you're hearing to be true? The goal? Silence the opposition. In Amos 8, God says, "Behold, the day has come, says the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst of water, but a famine of the hearing of the words of the Lord." So God says, listen, there's going to come a famine that is going to devastate this world. All right? For example, preaching marriage between man and woman today is considered by the liberal leftist hate speech. And you're going to find that when the power of the government changes and the administration is gone that we have today, whether the election of this election or the next. You know, I'm sitting there this week thinking about all the stuff that has to come, and you almost say, well, you know, it's almost better that this administration loses and gets out and just usher in the kingdom of God sooner. But I don't know that God's plans that way. We could just have more problems longer. So whatever God's will is, we pray, God, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. And look what that will happen, because things are going to get so bad, they will wander from sea to sea, from the north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro. They shall seek the word of the Lord, and they shall not find it. Interesting scripture. When they want to find God, he won't be found. Why? Because they have told him to get out, and they will not listen to his word. Now look what Amos 5 says. It will come a time, there's another reason. Because God's going to know if we have enough wisdom. It says the prudent. What is the prudent? The prudent is the wise. Those who look forward understand that if I do this, this is what's going to happen. And God says he's going to remove the prudent from our nation, from the government, and the leadership we have today. So you look today and you say, what in the world are they thinking? Which makes no sense. And God says he's going to remove that. But then he's going to have those that he has called out who are prudent. And what are they going to do? They're going to keep their mouths shut. Why? Because if they open their mouth, they're going to wind up finally getting beaten or the house burnt or being put in jail or killed by the mobs who don't agree with what they say. Just like they did in the 20s leading up to the power of 1933 and Hitler taking over control. So is history repeating itself? To understand world events happening in our day, and how do they apply about the events prophesied to take place in the end time? So what can I look at today that's telling me where we're going by understanding where we've been, is what we're saying. Isn't it about prophesying? No. Believe it or not, where God's taken to, you believe it, and people say they want prophecy. They want to hear about some new thing. But you know, God says it's not about prophecy. Believe it or not, we've come to understand it. God says, look, I've already given you everything you need to know. He says, you now have to go back and be able to decipher what I gave you. So it isn't about prophesying, it's but rather about God granting to his end-time church. Now, bear with me here. Stick with this on this, okay? So don't worry about what the prophecies are. Think about where this is going, all right? It isn't about prophesying, but rather about God granting his end-time church the gifts that he gave to Daniel to decipher what God had sealed from Daniel until the end. In other words, if we want to know where God's taking us, we don't need prophecy, because God's already given all of that. What we need to understand is God gave Daniel certain gifts, but then at the end he hid those gifts till the end. That means to understand what he gave Daniel, just like Daniel, if we're going to know what he gave Daniel, we will need the gifts he gave to Daniel. Isn't that amazing? But that's what we need for our church. So what do I mean by that? Daniel 12:9. So he says, go your way, Daniel, for the words are sealed until the time of the end. Daniel 1:17. This is what God said about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Of all of them, they were very brilliant men. Why? Because they were obedient to God. And these men said, listen, king. Remember he says, when he said to do what the king said, they said, if you don't listen, I'm going to throw you into the fire. And they told the king, great words, whether you will or not, whether God will save us or not, doesn't matter. We will not bow down to you. So, wow, what powerful words. And God protected them. But of the four, Daniel had different gifts. And of these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, this connects to you and I. Now, this is important because this isn't just Tom. This is all of us. God speaks to you the same way He speaks to me. He works one-on-one. The Spirit that's in you is in the same Spirit He is in me. Each of us have a different gift in our calling. We have a different purpose. But God still speaks to you the same way. That means the Spirit that's inside of you will be able to understand the same thing God gives me. God gave Daniel the ability to interpret all dreams and visions except the very end time, which I found was interesting. Because throughout generation, if it wasn't important for that generation, God didn't give him the information for that generation. But the end time generation needs to know what God sealed from Daniel. So if we're going to know what that is, we have to have the gift that Daniel had of what God revealed. Don't that make sense? I don't know if you've ever looked at it that way. I don't need a prophecy. I need to know what God said. See, He's already told us. So what did God say? Here's the mystery. For us to understand what God had sealed from Daniel, God prophesied that He would give the end-time church the gifts like He gave Daniel. You with me? Where's that prophecy? It's been staring us in the face all along. Acts 2:17. And it shall come to the pass in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, which is the inspired speaking, speak by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and your young men shall see visions, and the old men shall dream dreams. What was the gifts of Daniel? Visions and dreams. And in prophesying, God says, at the end time, that gift is going to be given to His people again. You and I are in those days today. Isn't that an awesome mystery? Been staring at it all along. So when people say, we want prophecy, we want to tell us what's going to happen. God says, no, you don't need all that. You already know what's going to happen. What God's saying, let me tell you how you're going to get there. Because that's what's important. How are we going to get there? Daniel 1:17, for the four children, remember, Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Except the very last one. He said, nope, that one's not for you. That's for the end time. Amazing story. So I brought this out in Jeremiah in the conspiracies just in the last sermon. Chapters 23, verses 19 through 20. It says, behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is going forth in the fury. Doesn't sound like today? A lot of that's beginning very much in the same passion. Jeremiah is God's eyes for us today, for the end time. We get to see the end time through Jeremiah's eyes, what God wants us to understand. Even a grievous whirlwind, and a grievous upon the head of the wicked, so the anger of the Lord shall not return until He has executed, until He has performed all the thoughts of it in His heart, and in the last days you shall consider it perfectly. Why will we consider it perfectly? Because the prophecy of God said, I'm going to give you the dreams and the visions so you can understand it. And Jeremiah says, not only just understand it, you're going to understand it perfectly. So wow, isn't that comforting? So what you don't know yet, it's not important. Because God's going to give you what you need when you need it. The language God gives Jeremiah is just like that, what He used when He told Daniel, go your way to the end of days. Amazing, the story that God's putting all this together. Why is He doing this for you and I? Because He's walking this now. He told us in 7 years of series, this is going to happen. And He gave us all those events. Now what He's walking us through now is how we're going to get there. So that you don't have to wake up in the morning and worry about what's going to happen to you. Because you're in God's hands. Because I tell you, you and I are going to live in a time. I know there's going to be problems. Don't get me wrong, but you need to look beyond the pain to look where we are. Because you see, this generation, the last generation, what God is getting us ready for is the greatest calling of mankind since Jesus Christ. The innumerable multitude that's going to come out of the tribulation, and God's going to put them in our hands to care for them. And they won't understand, and they'll be filled with tears, and they'll be lost and pain and suffering. And you're going to say, come here, let me tell you about what's going on. And they're going to wake up and understand, wow, I didn't understand that before. And give them hope and encouragement. That's the task that He's given to you and I. That's what we got to focus on. Yeah, I know I got to talk about the stuff that's going wrong, but there's hope at the end of that passage of what's going on and what's taking place. Daniel 12, 9 and 10, He said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are sealed to the time of the end. And in that time, many shall be purified. You can put that with Revelation, talking about the innumerable multitude, and made white and tired, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked will understand. Why? Because they will not have the gift that was prophesied to give His church at the end time of understanding the visions and the dreams for our time. That's reserved for you, for His church. But the wise shall understand. Now, I'm going to go back to the timeline. You probably thought you were going to get away from a timeline. That's my Achilles heel. I can't seem to teach anymore without a timeline. But it helps me to understand because I keep putting pieces to the puzzle. And you find this new nugget of piece of information. It's like, oh, come see this. And I'm driving my wife crazy. She's like, oh, come see this. She's over there working because where she works, my office is the kitchen. Look at me. It should be away from the kitchen. It's actually in the breakfast nook. You ever see the little bay windows? I never did build an office. I never set up an office. I just sat up right there because it was open. And her office is right in the living room. She didn't have an office either. So between the two of us is the kitchen. And so she's always working away. And so I said, come see this. It's always pleasant to me. And she'll get up and stop what she's doing, come over and see. And you'll see her face. Go back. This is good stuff. You didn't see this? I get real excited about things like that. But anyway, let's get back to this. The timeline. All right, so here's the timeline. We've used it before, so I'm going to add some pieces to this timeline. So here we have Hitler, Germany, the time, his 12 years. And 3 years later, the physical nation of Israel is established. That's important because, see, that's the physical, what's taking place that God showed us here. All right, 15 years total, this time place. Hitler's reign of terror lasted 12 years. Right? 12 years. At the end of it, you see a fulfillment of a prophecy out of Isaiah 66, so the earth shall be made to bring forth in one day the nation be born at once. Here we have the physical nation being born. What's quite powerful in this whole thing is that who did Satan go after? The Jews, right? Why? Because it was the Jews that God was going to use to build the physical. Right. So the end time is the kingdom. So who's Satan going after at the end time? The elect. Because they're called to the spiritual church, the Spirit of God in us. So who's Satan going after with next? That shouldn't be a shock to anybody. You wonder why you're going through trials, persecution, or problems from time to time? Because Satan's going to stop what God's going on here. When Moses was born, who did he go after? Moses, because Moses was against God's plan. When Christ came, who did he go after? See, Satan knows where God's going, and he's there to destroy it every step of the way. So it shouldn't surprise us. So now, to show God is at work, at the same time Hitler comes to power in 1933, the church is established, the Church of God, the community in which we are part of. Same year, the Church of God is established. So you see the power of the workings of Satan. Get another button. Here we go. Alright, so now, you have the physical and you have the spiritual, basically. You see the war between God and Satan at play. That picks up again your generation right now. So now, here we have the beginning of the establishment of the end time. 2015 to 2030, we have 15 years, just like before, the total of time till it looks like the establishment. And again, I'm going to keep saying to you, tired of hearing it. I don't know that Christ is coming in 2030 or 31. I don't know. But that's the time frame that we have according to Scripture. God says He can cut time short. He also says in Revelation He's going to extend it. So we don't know. When Jesus Christ was on this earth, He said He didn't know. So if Christ doesn't know, how in the world are we? But He gives us the season and the time of when it's going to be. So now, there you see the fulfillment of Isaiah 66, verse 8, the second part of the passage. And it says, "Shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as the Zion travailed..." That's the language we see of the end time, modern-day Israel, in travail, like a woman giving birth for 3.5 years. She brought forth her children, not one, but children, which is the end-time church. All right, so you see the duality in fulfillment right in front of our very eyes. And the former Satan went after the Jews, who those that God would use to establish the physical. Today, Satan will go after the elect, those that God will use to establish the kingdom. Isn't that incredible? Imagine that God put all this together before creation and lined all this stuff up. And He said all these things were written for our admonition, to the ends of the earth have come. It's history repeating itself. You tired of hearing that? Oh, it's wonderful. I mean, it's crazy what's going on here. During the 1920s, I'm going to give you 3 points today. Just 3 points to bring all this together, tie it all together for the 20s and the 19s and the 20s and the 20s. I wouldn't double talk, that's true. During the 1920s, throughout the 1930s, the Nazi regime deployed the radio, the press, the newsreels to stoke fear. First of an impending communist uprising, then they channeled popular anxieties into the political measures, pretty similar to today, isn't it, that began to eradicate all civil liberties and democracy. Two, the Nazi strategists sought out soft spots, which in the areas that they planned to absorb or attack. They did it in Germany, and they did it throughout Europe, where they planned to attack next. They literally had spies that would go out, that would be a part of the society. They would filter through where the weakest parts of the society was, areas that they were having struggle with, like in America, racism. And they would use those soft spots to, like, pick a wound long before they ever got in. That's what was going on. You're seeing it in America today. What you're looking at happening on the newsreels is part of a bigger plan of Satan trying to destroy God's plan before he returns. Get beyond the physical, look into the spiritual. All right, so then, the revival, they would revile the economic interests, the racial and religious antagonisms, and that sound like today? Tensions between the political groups, again, like today, they settled primarily on two, communism and anti-Semitism. That was the original attacks when they began to move in 1933. He began doing that in 1931. Three. They would rile up the radicals and send them into the streets to protest using intimidation, violence, vandalism, burnings, and even killings to accomplish their objective. Now, you're ahead of me now because you have already seen all of this taking place in your mind because you have been seeing the news for the last month. So how does that work today? Let's take a look at that. Look at number one. Propaganda, controlling the airways in America today. How did they do that? In the recent actions by Google to demonetize a conservative media publishing, The Federalist, one of the few conservative papers and issues that are out there today, raised serious concerns that Google was abusing their monopoly power in an effort to censor political speech in which it disagrees. And I guarantee you that it happens. I guess I can say this because Audrey did something recently. He took something to send to one of the parties, and it was sort of on a negative tone, all right? And it sent it back as a warning in her email that she needs to correct what she just wrote. That went to the Democratic Party. She took the exact same email, and she forwarded it to the Republican Party. Or do I have it back? In Google, and nothing was said. In other words, it was censored. Totally censored. Go back and rewrite it. It's offensive. It's okay to send it to the offensive party to the Republicans. You can't send the offensive to the Democrats. Just as a test, see how that works. And that's going on around the country over and over and over again. Google takes action against the conservative websites over certain comments that they call hate speech. Recently, two flights again were flagged and broke hate speech policies. They control what they consider hate speech is, and you have no say-so over it. All right, this isn't through the propaganda. In YouTube, conservative ideas are under attack. YouTube do not want young people, this is from PragerU, they don't want younger people to hear the conservative ideas as they currently list over 200 Prager YouTube videos restricted. Taking them off the air, restricted. 200 videos from YouTube, including prayer or any kind of allegiance to the country, making it difficult for young people to access their videos. Facebook. Facebook just recently pulled a Trump campaign out for violating free speech. Now listen, I'm not asking you to pick a side here. We're talking about propaganda. So just hear what I'm saying and go beyond, and we'll see how it leads. So in what was sparked as a firestorm, Facebook has pulled President Trump's and Vice President Pence's campaign ads as they allegedly violated policies against organized hate. The promo included a red inverted triangle symbol that was associated with Nazi designation for political prisoners in concentration camps. I didn't know that. I mean, I had no idea what a red triangle was, honestly, what that was. In response, the Trump administration said it was the symbol that's being widely used by Antifa. But it's not pulled from Antifa. So I'm just, what I'm trying to bring out, showing you how things through propaganda begins to change. So in the 20s and the 30s, and I can go on through that. The problem is if I go on through that, what will happen is in your minds, you'll begin picking and choosing. Yeah, but. And then you will find something on your side. Yeah, but this. And then next thing you know, you're in arguments about what's going on. And that's not my point here. My point is to point out there is propaganda that's going to feed things to a certain way. So in the 30s, in the 1920s, the Nazi Party owned publishing houses. Believe it or not, in as early as 1920, they first bought their first publishing house. In 1920 itself, under an assumed name, to disguise the new ownership, the executives of Franz Eher, which was a Nazi newspaper, established a huge empire that drove out the competition and purchased newspapers at below market prices. Today, we have the same thing going on. Nearly all of the newspapers today have been bought up by millionaires and conglomerates. Most all of the newspapers now are syndicated. They're owned, controlled. So you can't put certain things that are there. And now, even those who work for left-wing newspapers who put comments in out that are not positive toward the left are fired. And you're seeing that all going on very quietly, but it's going on every single day. The media biases is from Investor Business Daily. Media bias now, pretty much all of journalism is now leaning left-wing, the study shows. So you're seeing right before our very eyes the same conditions in the 20s that set in place the power of the 30s is right under your very nose. And because they control the airwaves, you don't see it. But it's going on right now as we speak. So what happens when, at some future point in time, the Bible is declared hate speech? Don't think it won't happen because I've already tried to pass that in Canada. Because what's in there is what the left hates. Abortion, homosexuality, gay marriage. Those things are now hate speech in most circles. So at some point in time, the Bible itself will become labeled hate speech. Now, in the conspiracies, we brought out a few things, but I want you to bring out two verses of here in Isaiah 8, two verses that are important. Do not call a conspiracy everything this people calls a conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it, God says. So when you hear things in the news, I said, don't fear what's going on. He said, the Lord Almighty is the one who you are to regard as holy, and He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. See, everyone has to make choices, so you have to make some decisions on what's going on. So now, two. All right, that was all part one in this going on and change in the examples I'm giving you. This is two. The Nazi soft spots, and they went and planned to absorb and attack rival economic interests, racial, religious antagonism, and tensions between political groups. And they settled primarily on two, communism and Semitism. They went to communism first because in World War II, that was one of their enemies. World War I. So it was easy to get people riled up against communism. They didn't like that. But while they were doing that, what they were doing here is developing a hatred for the Jews. So now what's been is a development for the party that does not agree with whoever's in charge, is what's going on right now with the left versus the right. Today's soft spots are many. You know, if Satan came in and said, how do I rile this people up? Well, he's got a plethora of information. Capitalism, LGBTQ, illegal aliens, social inequality, racial inequality, unfair labor practices, white privilege, police brutality, BLM, you name it, it's out there. They're settling on a couple right now, is the white privilege, the police brutality, and the Black Lives Matter. Once they get that settled, it will move on to the next. What's going on here you're looking at. So those are the soft spots you look at today, and that's why you're seeing these issues being brought up in the streets. Three. What would then rile up, they would then, this is the third step, tactic that they used in World War II, pre-World War II. They would rile up the radicals and send them into the streets. That couldn't happen here, could it? I told you that about 4 months ago. You said, no, that wouldn't happen here. But it is happening here. Now, I don't know if you heard, but just last night, in that free zone in Seattle, there was a shooting. 2:20 in the morning, the call comes in to the police. Someone's just shot in that free zone. Cops. Police go to get in and see what's going on to help the person. They can't get in. The mob is there to push them back. Rather than fight and create the problem and create a war, they backed off. 15 minutes later, a second shot went off. Wound up bringing both of the people to the hospital. What happens when the police no longer respond, period? What is going to happen to this nation? Police brutality, let's shut them down. In the free zone, hadn't been there but a couple weeks, in this new nation, the new nation of chops, already firing, shooting going on, people murdering. There's also been a report of a rape of a young woman inside of chops. Between 8 p.m. and 8 a.m., it's black only. Honest to goodness, I ain't making this up. There's no white people allowed in certain areas after 8 p.m. or is it 8 in the morning? That's going on right now. So now, what about this? Who wins the election? Let's talk about who wins the election. How do we go from today, the events that we find in Revelation and the rise of the beast? Right, we talked about this earlier with the Pope and the World Economic Forum. Depending on who gets into the election, things will move quickly. And you can say, well, listen, we're not into politics. Well, that's fine. But I'm going to tell you something. Your life is affected by politics. It really is. Everything that happens in politics is going to affect how things happen to you. So three is the violence in America. I'm going to run a little late, but I needed to do this in one session. So let me run a little late, and I don't want to rush it too much. So I'm going to be 10 to 15 minutes longer than normal. Hopefully I'll get on one DVD so we don't have a problem for my brother. So I will keep that in. Yeah, because he's got to put it all on stuff. So if I'm 6 minutes old, he can't get it in one DVD. He's got to send out two DVDs, and that creates a real problem. So violence in America, is that the new norm? We talked about that. Because, see, violence has become accepted in many circles today. That's going on. John Wesley wrote, he was a Christian reformer of the Methodist movement. He said, what one generation tolerates, the next generation will embrace. So we're seeing that right now. Many people in the political realm would rather have the violence rather than create a problem. And so we live with looting and we live with burning and things that are taking place today. We went through this yesterday news nuggets and insights, so I don't need to spend a lot of time here. And I'm actually on the bottom of this slide. I've got the actual site completely that you can go to and get the whole article. But on part one of the origins, the ideological origins of Antifa can be traced back to the Soviet Union roughly a century ago in 1920-21. And I'm using Antifa because that seems to be the radical wing that seems to be motivating everybody right now. Antifa, in its loosely affiliated organization. All right, the very first anti-fascist group. Huh? Oh, okay. Mussolini. It's interesting because he saw what happened in Russia. He didn't want to happen where he was. So he established the first one to present the Bolshevik Revolution in Italy. And actually it took place all the way to 1923 in Russia. All the way to 23. All throughout the 20s, Germany, China, Russia, Europe, this constant power shift that was taking place. Of who's going to be running things and the authority of what's going on. In Germany with the Communist Party established the paramilitary group, the Red Front Fighters League, in 1924. The group was banned due to its extreme violence. So when I talk about Antifa, we're putting back to, again, the time frame 100 years later of what we're looking at today. Most of those members reformed under the name the Brown Shirts, who became the SS. Later in the 1930s, from the late 20s. They were the enforcers of the party's rules and laws. You don't think that can happen here? Last night, as I just said, two people shot in the free zone. One of the police going to help says, nope, you're not coming in here. We have our own police force. Handle it themselves. So you're seeing that going and allowed to take place under the noses of the government itself. So they don't want to create problems. The Brown Shirts were famous for their operation outside of the law, Sound familiar? Their violent intimidation of Germany's leftists and the Jewish population. All of this led up to World War II. So 100 years later now, we are actually moving into the exact same time. The Bible talks about a new world war that would take place just before the return of Jesus Christ. Germany's role. Germany are the modern-day Assyrians, as the church has understood and taught for decades. We know where that's coming from. Israel was gone into captivity in three waves of attacks by the Assyrians. Germany's already had two, World War I, World War II, and now they're rising up again. They're controlling the interest in Europe, and believe it or not, I'm going to show you from a report here, from a paper in Germany, they are funding Antifa and their political ideologies today. The common tactic used by Antifa was the United States and Europe to employ extreme violence and destruction of the public and private property to goad the police into a reaction. And as soon as the police react today, they come under intense criticism, are fired and attacked. Antifa is not only officially tolerated, but is being paid by the German government to fight the far right. And the reason I gave you that entire link to read the article through Gatestone, because it's where it's coming from. They document where they get the information from this German newspaper, where this is being reported from. So we're looking at today, World War II taking place again. Now I'm about to wrap it up. But of course, I got to do it with one more timeline. One more timeline. So if we look at this in history, where might this be taking us in time? I believe when we look at the history and where we're at in the duality of times, of the former and the latter, I believe we're at the time just before 1933, nearly 100 years ago. What took place back then? It was the time that led to the physical nation of the establishment of Israel in 1948. I believe that we're at that time frame now that we'll be moving into the kingdom of God, the spiritual nation of Israel, with God at the helm. Hitler comes to power in 1933, after nearly a decade of change throughout Europe and the problems that took place. We are today at 2020. 2024 will be the next election after this year, as we have brought out in the past. We call it the Mitski moment, when the United States is at a bankrupt time, that every penny we earn now goes to pay the interest alone. It becomes a Ponzi scheme where our nation could no longer exist. That was true 6 months ago. This is not true today, because things have changed. That's why we follow the events, as God says. What happens? We're at the beginning of the stage of what took place in 1929, which was the fire keg that set off the whole world when the United States collapsed, when the economy no longer existed here in America. The uncertainty and the instability, as you're looking at around the world today, I'm listening as I'm coming over today, North Korea fighting with South Korea again. You got China fighting with Turkey down there on the borders all over. Again, the Middle East is a fire keg. Germany trying to take control of Europe. It's the same as it was back then. We are there today. What'll take the same igniting? God says, go look at what I did. That's what I'm going to do. The next fire keg is going to be a collapse of the U.S. economy to set all this uncertainty out in place. Who's going to be there to pick it up? Well, the Pope is already lining it all up. The money is all coming together. The world reset, as they're calling it, all taking place, is going to happen in a very short span of time. When all that took place, it was just a couple years that Hitler began to rise with his Nazi power. They were moving so quickly. The brown shirts were just like today, out in the streets intimidating anyone who dared say anything against them. They come firebomb their place, take them out and beat them, or throw them into prisons. Do you realize they had prisons being built for the government and agitation before they went after the Jews? That was the second thing. They quietly built concentration camps to put anybody who didn't agree with the party, put them out and put them in prison. That's what was going on. That's going on right now. You're going to see all this going on. So we moved the Mitski moment to 2022. Why is that important? Because there's a potential. I don't know that it is or not, but it is potential. That is a Shemitah year. And in the Shemitah years, the rise of kingdoms, the fall of kingdoms, the rise of nation power, and a fall of power. Will we see in 2022 who gets in power? Even if Donald Trump wins this election, by 2022 you could have an economic collapse in 2022 and light everything on fire and demand that they bring in the left in 2024. Could that happen? I don't know. But it's out there, and it certainly could happen. Of course, in the past few weeks, you look like, I don't know if Donald Trump will get in or not. All the timelines seem to indicate he will, but it's in God's plan. And we follow wherever the ark takes us, because we don't know where that's going to be. Moving on. The former and the physical. When this happens, you see the Miski moment taking place. And you see when comes Kristallnacht with the fire and the burning. We had a little bit of taste of that over the past month around the United States, of people that began to riot. The decade of the 20s is a period of unrest. I believe if I look at the timeline, and I think you will too, when you go back and you review this sermon, I want you to review it, go back into the scriptures, and prove it for yourself. I believe we're in this time frame right now. What will happen over the next few months in the election will determine where the United States will go. It is probably the most critical time in our modern history of the United States. Will it stay the same that we have today? I don't know. But I will tell you one thing. If the left movement gets in, you know their policies and what they want. The issue for our church is in dire despair. And you will begin to see the persecution on the truth take place. Today has all the makings of the period of the 1920s. Two things to happen. First, economic collapse, just like they had with the stock market collapse, and persecution of the elect that will take place. I looked at this just before I came over today, and I got blown away. 2 months ago, I showed this to you. We had $24 trillion. You realize in 2 months, we went $2 trillion more in debt? Trillion in debt? In 2 months. I did that just before I came to church today. I said, this is unbelievable. $26 trillion. That's why I said the Miski moment. I mean, that's shot. I mean, it's out there. It's gone. So now, let me just wrap it up. Let's close this out. God's protection. God says that in the midst of all of this, He says, go through the midst of Jerusalem, set a mark on the foreheads of the men who cry and sigh for all the abominations that's done there. I think God's doing that with His church. I think He let us know that because of COVID, that His church has been protected. That's important to me to understand that God's hand's in this. It says, hurt not the earth or the sea, neither the sun, the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. It means in your mind that God has given you, in your mind, protection. That we obey His holy word. We don't let anybody push us away from that. He said, you'll be protected, you'll be sealed. Watch therefore and pray always that you may count worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. 3 points, real quick. I'm just going to give you the title slide. We should live holy and godly lives. 2, we should look forward to Christ's second coming. As I began this sermon, wouldn't it be great today if God came back and Jesus Christ set His foot on the Mount of Olives on July 4th? Wouldn't that be awesome? I don't think that's going to happen this time, but boy, would that be nice. In the meantime, we pray, Thy kingdom come. And third, we should be active in praying for His second coming, and speed is coming. As they said in verse 12, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the Lord, the day of the Lord our God, wherein the heavens will be on fire, being dissolved, and the elements should be melted with fervent heat. And in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus crossed to pray, Thy kingdom come. So I'm asking us as a church, all of you online, every day as we look at what's going on right now, to know that you're in God's hands, that He will mark and He will protect and He will preserve His church to the work of God. The greatest work for the church is yet at our doors. We need to hold fast to that work. And every single day we wake up, we pray, Thy kingdom come. God be with you till we're together again next week.